We're listening to God's Word. We'll read the same reading as we read this morning, because the sermon's from the same passage. So that's Luke chapter 23, and we'll begin to read at verse 32, and we'll read through to verse 46. And then just one verse from John chapter 19. So that's Luke 23, beginning to read at verse 32, through to verse 46, and then I'll read one verse from John chapter 19. So let's hear God's word. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in two in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And then just one in chapter 19 and verse 30. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Again, this is God's holy and infallible word. Well, we read the same reading tonight as we did this morning. This morning, we looked at the nine words that saved his soul. That was the man that was on the cross. And these nine words were, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And tonight, I would like to think about the 13 words. 13 words that assured his soul. The nine words saved his soul, proved that he had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the 13 words come from the Lord Jesus himself to assure him that he is saved. So the 13 words are spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said unto, and Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." As we said this morning, there's words from the heart. It was from the heart and not from the head. This man had no time to learn anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a criminal. I wouldn't imagine he was going to the synagogues and that. I would imagine he would be staying away. So he wouldn't have not had met much training or teaching. But you see, what the Lord is really interested in, more than the head, is the heart. Because he says to Solomon, in Solomon chapter 23, in Proverbs, written by Solomon, he says, "Son, give me your heart." That's all God asks for. He doesn't ask for our money. He doesn't ask for our time, although we give them that gladly. But all that God wants from us is our heart. And why does he want our heart? Because Jesus tells his disciples that it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, because that goes through you, but it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. And that which comes out of your mouth, Jesus says, comes from the heart. So God wants your heart. And he tells us in Ezekiel that I'll give you a new heart. I'll take out the stony heart and I'll give you a heart of flesh, a flesh that is able to love. So these words, these nine words from this malefactor, they come from his heart and not from his head. And if you're saved tonight, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it was from your heart and not from your head. Many people know much about, as I said this morning, many people. I can go in the streets and ask someone, who is Jesus? What did Jesus do? Where did Jesus come from? And they would probably tell you, Jesus, it says, the people say he's the Son of God. Where did he come from? He was born in Bethlehem. We know all these things. But it doesn't save them. It's believing them and having them in your heart. And these nine words come from this man's heart. Words from a heart that had been changed. At the very last moment, his heart had been changed. As I said this morning, because of what he saw and what he heard. A heart, words from a heart that brought joy to the angels in heaven. They're singing in heaven tonight. The Bible tells us that the angels in heaven, there's joy amongst the angels in heaven over a sinner being saved. So when this man cried upon the name of the Lord, there was joy in heaven. The angels, no doubt they were wondering how a man like this could be saved. A criminal. Probably a murderer, because he was having the capital punishment from the Romans. So he was probably a murderer. And they would be wondering in heaven, how can a man like this be saved? And then they would see the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and they would understand that this is God's way of salvation. Words from a heart that brought joy to the angels. Words from a heart that brought joy to the Father, who sent his Son to save a man on the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here was the one who was daily his Father's delight. It tells us that in Proverbs chapter 8. He was forever with the Father. He was his Father's daily delight. The picture there is that they were standing face to face, as it were, if we were looking at them in a physical way, but they were spiritual. But if we look at it in human sense, it's like a father and a son forever face to face with great joy. Oh, what great joy the Father had in the Son. And this would have brought joy to the Father. Here was a man that was saved at the last moment by the work of his Son that he had sent into the world. Oh, my friends, words from the Son, from the Father to the Son. Jesus, as we read, Jesus said, this is my Father's will. It's his will. I have come to do my Father's will. My meat is to do his will. My work is to do his will, to fulfill that will. And when Christ, on John chapter 19 and verse 30, says it is finished, as we'll see, I'm going to carry that on, one word, not just assured, but sealed his soul. So when we come to the table with just one word, as I said this morning again, just reiterating this morning, just to bring us into it, as I said this morning, this is a wonderful example of God's grace. God saving a sinner. You can't have any more wonderful grace than God saving a sinner. And the Bible says that we have all sinned. And we've all come short of the glory of God. What a wonderful work of grace that God, who is eternal, where there was the Trinity for all eternity, before the creation, they dwelt in eternity, if I can use the human words, happy with each other, happy with where they were and what they were doing. He needs not us. God doesn't need me. God existed before I was born. But God wants to be pleased with us. He wants us to do those things that please Him. And there's only one way that we can please Him, and that's by believing on His Son, as we read at the beginning there. This is the Father's will, that everyone that sees the Son will be given eternal life. Do you have eternal life tonight? You have life because you're living, but do you have eternal life? That life that will exist when this world goes. There's another fact that people don't believe. They think this world's going to exist forever. But Peter tells us in his second epistle, in his third chapter, that this world is reserved for fire. God destroyed this world once with Noah. He destroyed the creation, but he didn't destroy the world, because the world was there when the ark was opened. But the time is coming when it will not be just destroyed, but it will be made new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. My friends, I ask you tonight, will I see you there? Oh, we're looking for you. Will I see you there? And there's only one way that I'll be able to see you there, is that if you have the same faith as I have. There's only one faith, and that's the faith that we have, Paul tells us that we have in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Why should God give me a gift? I gave Him nothing. We sing that chorus, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I have nothing to give God. Well, that's not true in a sense, because it says all my iniquities were laid on Him. So the only thing I can give to God is my sin. And this is what this young man, or this man, was doing on the cross. He was giving Christ his sin. And Christ was dying for his sin. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This morning I said there were three men in the same situation. Three of them on the cross. Three of them dying. But it wasn't for the same reason. As I explained this morning, it wasn't for the same reason. Two of them were dying because of the consequences of their sin. And the other one was dying because of the consequence of sin. They died for their sin. But he didn't die for his sin. He died because of sin. And listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. It wasn't his own sin. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. And after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. They died because of their sin, but the Lord Jesus Christ died because of sin. Sin had to be dealt with. He had no sin. That's why he could deal with sin. He was the perfect Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist says to the disciples. Look, behold, take a grip of him. Believe in him. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He takes it away. You've got sin tonight. If you're not saved, you're still in your sin. And Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am he said this to the Pharisees, if you don't believe that I am he, then you shall die in your sin. But I have come that you might have life. What an offer. He offers you life for nothing. He has paid the price, as Peter tells us in his first epistle, that we were not bought by the blood of goats and lambs, by gold and silver, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is available tonight. That's why the scripture says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. It is available tonight. And I said this morning it was a deathbed confession. The man was near to death. It was a deathbed confession. But don't be presumptuous. Don't say I'll wait till later on before I accept Christ. And don't be disheartened. It can happen when you're later. It says, though the Lord was saying to this young man, when the young man or the man said to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he says, today I tell you, thou shalt be with me in paradise. It was as though the Lord was saying to this man, I don't need to remember you. Because I'm taking you with me. We're going together. The Lord Jesus Christ gave up his life. The young, or the man, I keep calling him a young man. It doesn't say he was a young man. I take it he was an older man, an experienced criminal. But he was being put to death. He had his legs broken to quicken the death. And Jesus knew this, and that's why Jesus, one of the words of Jesus was today, was a wonderful word for him. He now believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would be expecting to hang on that cross for days before he died. But Jesus says, today you're going to be with me in paradise. You're not going to hang here for days. I'm taking you with me today. And it's the same idea when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, Jesus says, today you're now mine. Today you now belong to me. Today your soul is with me in paradise, as it were. Because we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, spiritually speaking. We're not talking about physically, we're here. Our soul is still within us. But the scripture says that we are in Christ. Our life is hid with Christ, as Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3. Your life is hid with Christ in God. So there's the spiritual aspect of these things. And it's the spiritual aspect that gives us hope. It's the spiritual aspect that gives us calmness in our soul. Because we know that it's right with God. But we've still got to go through this world. We've still got to live in this world. We've still got to do the things and accept the things from this world. But we know, as the Bible says, the heavens and the earth may pass away, and they will pass away. But his word will never pass away. It's eternal. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So if God is eternal, then surely his word must be eternal. I find this amazing when I was reading this. Every time I read it, we find a man on a cross with no future, given an eternal future. He had no future. No future at all. He was about to die and to go, as he would believe before he accepted Christ, he would go into the fire. For that's what they've done with their bodies when they come down from the cross. They were burned as criminals. They weren't buried. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. At that time you were without Christ. You had no hope. And you were without God. So he was a man on the cross who had no future. But he was given a future. And Christ Jesus gave him the future. Because it said in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of two one new man, so making peace. So here, and I find this incredible, here was a man hanging on the cross that had no future. And yet he was given an eternal future. How could he have an eternal future? Because he came to meet the eternal God. And we all have to come to meet eternal God. We can meet him tonight. Or we can meet him then. And if we wait till then there is condemnation. That's what the Bible says. I don't like to say these things at times. You want to say nice things to people. But God sometimes pulled no punches. He says, Jesus says to the hierarchy, if you don't believe that I am he, then you'll die in your sins. And where I go, you cannot come. So we ask the question, what's your future? Is it a bleak future? Is it you say to yourself, I don't know what my future is? Well, humanly speaking, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But spiritually speaking, I know what my future is. God holds the key to all unknown. And I am glad. So ask yourself that question, what's your future? And even ask this question, add to it, where are you going to spend eternity? When I was on the streets in London, I used to give out these tracts, and one of the tracts was, where will you spend eternity? And some of the answers I used to receive from some of them, not everyone that accepted them, but some of them that accepted them, some of the answers. And the main one was this, I'm going to heaven. And I used to say, well, how are you going to go to heaven? Well, I'm not a bad person. I haven't murdered anyone. I haven't robbed any banks. I haven't raped anyone. I haven't abused children. I try to do my best. But the Bible says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. What a future I have. What a future all Christians have. A future that's secure. And we'll see that tonight when we're at the table. Just one word. Secured his salvation. But we're thinking about this. Just the words. Tonight. 13 words from the Lord Jesus Christ. On what words they are. And remember. When I said about the situation. These men are in. On hanging on a cross, they're in agony. They're facing death at any moment. They're being ridiculed by the people. And yet here are two men having a conversation. I find that amazing as well. They're talking as though they were just sitting down having a cup of tea. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Well, today I'm going to take you to paradise. And yet the both of them are in agony and dying. I find it amazing. The scripture's amazing at times. You can't understand how it can be. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. Why are all these people still in their labour camps? Why are they still confined to the prisons? Why are they enduring torture and persecution? Why haven't they recanted? That's what they used to do when they were on the rack and before they went into the on the stakes. Recant, and you'll be all right. In other words, change your mind, deny it all, and you'll be all right. And why don't they do it? We have prayer letters where people have been held for over 20 years in solitary confinement, in labour camps in North Korea. No charges ever brought against them except that they had a Bible. They had a tract. They spoke about Jesus. How is it that they can endure such persecution? It's because God says, my grace is sufficient for you. It's because Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be with you. When you suffer, I suffer. Because I've already suffered for you. A man on the cross with no future, given an eternal future. A man on the cross that was bereft of these three essential needs, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2:12. He was without Christ, he was without God, and he was without hope. And if you're not saved tonight, then you have these three essential things bereft of you. And they're there. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Have you yoked tonight? Are you carrying a great burden of your sin? Well, come to Christ. And he'll take it from you, and he'll put his yoke on. You see, when something was yoked together, it had to be two of the same animals. There was no good putting an ox and a donkey. It had to be two animals. They had to be of the same strength. And they had to be moving in the same direction. And it's the same when God, Jesus Christ, yokes us to him. We're just alike. And we're going in the same direction. We cannot pull against God. A man was bereft. A man reminded me, reading this, it reminds me of the men who were working in the vineyard. And the man went out in the morning and got some labourers. He went out at dinner time and got some labourers. He went out at tea time and got some labourers. And he said, I'll pay you a penny a day. Now that was a lot of money in them days. I'll pay you a penny a day. And then he went out right at the very end of the evening and he got some more people to come in to help pick the grapes. And when it came time for him to be paid, he started to pay the last man and he got exactly the same as the first man. And they argued about it, saying, we've been here all day working and you've only given us a penny. And the master said, well, that's what we said we would do. And this reminds me here of this man on the cross at the last moment. But he will receive the same as Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. He'll receive exactly the same as David. He'll receive exactly the same as the disciples. It's not when you were saved. It's how you were saved. the last person to be saved before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. As I said this morning, the one, this man, the little story they tell, not a true story, but how did he get into heaven? He'd never been to church. He had never been baptized. He'd never done any works. He'd never given any money. He had done nothing. And the other one in heaven says to him, well, how did you get here? And his answer was, it was the man on the cross that brought me here. So it's not when you were saved, it's how you were saved. Time's going on. Let me just bring these five things just quickly concerning the 13 words. We need to consider first and foremost the speaker. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I haven't got time to go right through this. I'll just do it briefly. We need to consider first and foremost the speaker. He calls him Lord. He doesn't call him master or teacher or anything like that. According to the commentary, he uses the word K-Y-R-I-E, Kyrie. He uses the word Kyrie for Lord, and it means majesty. So whether he used that because he saw the inscription, Jesus, the King of the Jews, but he uses this word, so we consider the speaker. The speaker says, today I will take you into paradise with this authority. Secondly, we need to consider the focus of the speaker, the one who was inquiring. As I said this morning, there was no word for the other man on the cross. The other man on the cross derided him. The other man on the cross was only interested in his safety. If you're the Christ, save yourself, but don't forget to save us. All he was interested in was getting off the cross and carrying on with his life. There was no word. Jesus never spoke to him. Not a word. But his focus was on the one who was inquiring. He was inquiring when he was telling off the other malefactor. We deserve this. This is our right, as it were. So we consider the speaker, we consider the focus, we consider the promise. What a promise. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. You're going to be with me. You and I together. You're speaking about me going into a kingdom. The King of Britain has never been in my house. As far as I know, the King of Britain has never been in this church. But here's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he says, you're going to be with me. In other words, you're going to be my companion. And what a promise to a man that was dying. Consider the timing. Today, as we said this morning, death on the cross was agonizing and it took days. They were left there to hang. Birds would land on them and peck them. These vultures would come, probably. I don't know if there was vultures in there. I would imagine there would be. But it would be a terrible death. You couldn't do anything. But yet, he had this timing. Today, you're not going to hang here for days. You're going to be with me today. And he would have been the same as the Lord Jesus Christ. He would have been a Jew. He would have known that he would have had to be down there before 6 o'clock, because that was the end of the day. Not 12 o'clock at night, but 6 o'clock in the evening. And this was 3 o'clock. Or before 12, sorry, because there was the 3 hours of darkness up until the 9th hour. And the 9th hour was 3 o'clock. So what a joy it must have been to him, even though in his agony he must know them, I'm going to be somewhere else today. What a promise. We must consider the promise. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Paul tells us that when he's writing to the church at Corinth. All the promises. Every promises. Why? Because he tells us in Malachi, I am the Lord. I change not. He's unchangeable. If he's unchangeable, then his word is unchangeable. We can trust everything that Jesus says in the Bible. Could you trust me for everything I say? I wouldn't trust you for everything you said. And I'm not being unkind when I say that. Because you've got the same kind of heart as I've got. You're a human being and we can tell lies. We can make promises that we can never keep. You've made promises I've never kept. I've made promises I've never kept. But God's promises stand firm. Consider the time and consider the destination, paradise. Adam and Eve were cast out of paradise because of their sin. And flaming cherubims were there at the gates so that they couldn't get back in. These cherubims have been removed. Paradise is open for all those who would come through Christ. And then lastly, we need to consider the assurance. I say to thee, I. When the people in Israel ask you who has sent you, tell them that it is I. I am that I am. I am the eternal God. I am Jehovah. This is who's saying this. Jehovah. God himself. Well, the time's gone, so I'll finish there. Let's pray.